Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Okay. All right. Gonna have to get the judge-o-meter out here a little later to see where exactly on the... Okay. That's fine.
They just know me already. They're just comfortable with me now. It's fine. Right. We have a thing.
Yeah.
We have a thing.
Special
now.
Chemistry. Yeah. Hello, New York City. Center of the universe. I can't say the next line because we were on a clean show.
That's true.
But anyway, go home and listen to Rent.
That's the third time that you've broken into Rent since we've been here.
Yeah. And by here, she means literally on the wings of the stage and here. It's been a robust evening. So, Sydney, this is a big show for us. It's the biggest city, basically, on the planet, New York City. And you said you wanted to do something, like, really special for this one. Something
yes,
that
I
would
did.
Really set it apart.
That's true. And I thought, what is more special? If you don't listen to Sawbones, you should.
Shame on you.
But we talk about medical history and all the things that we've done wrong in the past in medicine. And one of our most frequent guests, I guess, special guests, is someone called Pliny the Elder.
It's happening.
It's about time we gave Pliny his own show. And I thought he deserved a live show and a live show in New York City.
Yeah, for Pliny the Elder. He certainly knew of your city. Certainly one day he dreamed of performing on the Great White Way. Now we are fulfilling that dream for Pliny the Elder.
And it makes me so happy to think that we're saying Pliny the Elder and people are cheering for him right now. It's just like, you know, like if he could have even imagined.
What a treat it must be for him. I can't imagine.
If you don't listen to our show, you're going, what? Who?
Who's this little guy?
I'm going to tell you who. So Pliny the Elder, also known as Gaius Plinius Secundus.
Nice. Yeah. I'd go with Pliny too.
I don't know. Gaius? That's a good name.
Gaius is good. Then he kind of loses the plot. Then he brings it back towards the end. Kind of all over the place.
Do you think his parents were just big fans?
What, a Battlestar Galactica? Sorry? Someday, I have two dreams. One day, my son's going to perform in New York City. And I'm going to perform in a passion play called Battlestar Galactica. I say passion plays because they didn't have a TV, and I know they had those, I think, probably. What's his story?
So he was born in AD 23, lived until August 25th, AD 79. We know that exact date. That's rare.
That's
we usually
really
don't
rare,
know
yeah.
those kind of dates. But we do because it was a big event, and I'll tell you about that. But not till the end. We want him to live first.
Yeah.
So he was born to Gaius Plinius Celer and Marcella in Como. He had a sister that was named Plinia.
Come on.
Pliny and Plinia. I like that's cute.
It is cute.
I don't know that they were twins, but in my mind, they were twins. They were members of the equestrian class.
What? I'm into that.
I know. I know you are. I didn't make this up. You'd think I did, but I didn't. No, and I had to look, what does that mean? Because my thought was the horse class, and I didn't know what that, what did that signify in the caste system. So that meant that they had at least 400,000 sisteras and presumably horses, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I figure.
Or they were horses.
And that.
There's plenty of horses this whole time?
Nah, probably not. It's probably a person, because they're riding. You can always tell a horse by the fact they can't ride.
You got it.
Yep. Trench coat, don't be fooled.
That could still be a horse, my friend.
We caught two horses on each other's shoulders trying to sneak into the show earlier in a trench coat.
Yeah. Mustache, glued it on. With his brother. Because horses are made of... Whatever.
Anyway, that's the next show.
It's the next show. Horses and glue.
So that was because you had to be rich to own a horse at the time. So equestrian class. And no one really knew what to do with horses yet. Like, you had one, and that was great, but you didn't really know, like, what do we do with them? And we have to feed them and, like, take care of them. So that's, like, a lot of money for something that we're not really sure to, like, we're not yoking it to things and plowing things or whatever. I don't know. Whatever you do. Whatever practical use a horse has.
I feel none.
Like. So, and if you rode a horse in battle, then basically you just got to kind of hang back and, like, watch all the other guys on foot do all the work. So it was, like, a big deal if you could have a horse, because then you lived, I guess. So, anyway, that was the class he was part of. He was an author. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about what he wrote, but he was also a Navy and Army commander for the Roman military, and he was a buddy of one of the emperors, Vespasian, and he was a philosopher and a lawyer and a naturalist. So he wore many hats.
Busy guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he wore hats, but... Sure.
No, they weren't invented for 100 years.
No. There was, if you ever Google Pliny, you'll find a beer, which is great, Pliny the Elder, the beer. But you'll also probably stumble across Pliny the Younger, who was his nephew, not his son. Pliny never had any children. He never married and never had any children. But he did have a nephew, and he left everything to him, including his name, I guess. So
that's probably you. Part of the deal, actually. That was probably more a condition than an inheritance. Gotta call yourself Pliny.
So before he started saying a lot of things about medicine that were wrong, that are the reason we're talking about him on a podcast, he rose through the ranks of the military. That was the beginning of his career. He was already a writer, and he wrote books about, like, launching missiles and, like, throwing things while on horseback. Like, how to do that well? While you're...
I'm not a big book guy, but that sounds like a very good book. To me. Yes, please.
He wrote a history of various wars. After his service ended, he wanted to write books of more meaning, but this was during Nero's reign, and so you couldn't write anything, because he was kind of crazy, Nero was, so you couldn't write anything that was really controversial, because then he'd, like, have you killed. So he had to be kind of, like, fly under the radar. So he wrote books mainly about, like, grammar and rhetoric and, that's boring stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, grammar. and, like, a biography of a friend. It's pretty harmless. But under Vespasian, he actually got to hold a role in the government. And then he began to, like, pursue what he wanted to do. He was, like, a local governor of sorts to parts of, like, France and Spain and Libya. He was a trusted advisor to the emperor until his death. And then he returned to Rome in, like, AD 75, 76. And this is when he wrote the book and then published it the following year that we know him best for, and the book that I cite on our show a lot. And that's Natural History. Now, Natural History is a huge book. It's sort of like the first encyclopedia, mm-hmm. more or less.
It makes sense that we would want to write down what natural history was, because you walk outside, what are those? Or a tree. Was there a tree there last week? I have no way of knowing. I don't know. There's one now. That should be enough for you. Live in the moment, Dan. Danius.
And Pliny could tell you, because he wrote down all the trees. He wrote down all the trees and all the rocks and all the plants, all the animals. He wrote about space. He wrote about humans. He wrote about history. He wrote about anything. It was everything. It was the, like, Encarta, maybe, of their time.
Hold the phone.
If that's the Encarta of his time, what's the Encarta of our time? Because it ain't Encarta. What? That entire brand name has been relegated to windbreakers from the mid-90s. I worked on Encarta. Good. Congratulations. Shipped a fine product. It's a lot of discs. Encarta? You know about Wikipedia. I've seen you on it. Encarta? You can tell that Cindy's working on an episode of Sabas because you see her go to Lycos. And then... No, nothing there. Let's check dog pile. You better ask Jeeves if he could check Encarta. Encarta.
I don't still have that disc.
So he made Encarta. So,
I mean, basically, because like it was not infinite. It was finite.
It was an encyclopedia.
Right. It was an encyclopedia.
Okay.
There are 37 books in natural history. And it, like I said, it covers a huge variety of topics, including, of course, one book devoted entirely to how best to throw a spear from the back of a horse. Because he was really into that. But there were, and you can find all this, by the way, you can find the entirety of natural history online. I search it constantly when we're doing our show to like look for what did Pliny say about this disease or this treatment or whatever. And it, because it's all available publicly, which is cool for me anyway. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's cool. And many of the books in it are titled things like remedies derived from, and then the forest trees or living creatures or aquatic animals. Or whatever. There are some that are titled by like the remedy first. So it's like anise, 61 remedies with anise, or dill, 9 remedies. So that you could search it either way, you know, which is really useful for me when I'm doing my medicine now.
Right.
There are 35 remedies derived from wool, which was amazing to me. Like that's a whole chapter. Like here are 35 things you can do with wool to cure you.
Kind of a fun, it's more like a good housekeeping article.
and they're wide ranging. Like he was covering everything. Like the anise one, which is lengthy because there's 61 remedies. It includes things as diverse as like scorpion stings, bad breath, low appetite, and bad dreams. So any of those
things. So anything you want to do with wool, the option's there for you.
Now, some other things Pliny said in his book. If he were alive today, aside from being, I think, very flattered by all this, I have to say, he would not like me very much. He was not a fan of physicians at all. He, in book 29, chapter 8, which is titled, Evils Attendant Upon the Practice of Medicine, he says, is at the expense of our perils that they learn and they experimentalize by putting us to death, a physician being the only person that can kill another with sovereign impunity.
I mean, like, okay, back then, though, he had a point. Like, yeah, nobody knows anything. I'm with Pliny on this one. You guys are cool now, for sure. Love it. House, MASH, big fan. But like, back then, for sure. For sure, don't go to doctors.
Which I think is where this impulse to like, not just tell people about the natural world, but to say, and also you can use that for this. I think that's where that came from, was this like distrust, like doctors don't know what they're doing. I'm gonna give the medical knowledge to the people. Which is like a cool impulse. Like, I'm going to put this book out there and it's going to tell you how you can use wool to fix you. Yeah. You don't have to go to your doctor because they'll kill you and they won't be held accountable. So some highlights from natural history, because that's always our favorite thing to do, is to talk about all the silly stuff that Pliny recommended. So for instance, for a toothache, Pliny would recommend that you take a hippopotamus's left tooth. I don't know how you're going to get that.
Very carefully.
Hippos don't like that, I bet. I don't know. I stay away from them. And you're going to rub it in your mouth for your toothache. If you survive all that, you probably won't care about your toothache. If you didn't want to do that, you could take a wolf's head, like, off the wolf first.
Sure.
Separate it. And then you want to reduce it to ash. I mean, you can figure that part out. And then you can eat that.
Yeah. It's a really good Game of Thrones episode. I just...
Pliny had a lot to say about teeth. He said that you could take the filth of the tail of sheep.
What?
And use that to strengthen your teeth and your stomach.
I will keep my weak teeth. Thank you. I'm good. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. Well, it's Mother's Day almost, and you know how stressful it is to wait the last minute, Sid.
Oh, absolutely.
What if I told you could just knock it out right now with Aura Frames?
Well, that would be such a relief.
And Father's Day and all the other days that you gotta get gifts for a special person in your life. Could you do any better than an Aura Frame?
Or just because. Why wait for a special day?
That's
just
right.
Just get somebody an Aura Frame because they'd love it.
I describe it as a high-tech gift. You don't need to be high-tech to use. What that means is you can set it up for this person, this grandparent, this close family friend, whoever it may be. And after you give it to them, you can use your Aura Frames app to send pictures wirelessly. I can do it in 10 seconds right now to our mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is Sydney's mom, Mary's frame. Cute picture of the kids, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're out and about, something fun happens, send a picture.
Maybe a cute picture of me. I'm her kid.
That's right. Yeah, she loves cute pictures of Sydney, which is all of them, by the way. This was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and by me, Justin, and her, Sydney. We love this thing. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Sawbones at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Sid, I want to do a quick tree check with you. How are our fast-growing trees doing back there in the backyard?
Oh, Justin, they are thriving in our backyard.
They are thriving. That's right, because fast-growing trees helped us to pick the right kind of trees for our environment and gave me on the phone free consultation when I had a question about the best way to plant them. I literally called them on the phone and I talked to a person and they told me what to do. And you cannot beat that. Not in 2024, certainly.
No. Where do you get service like that?
You buy a tree from Fast Growing Trees or a bush. They got over 10,000 different kinds of plants. 2 million happy customers. You choose what you like. They're going to get it directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, but that free plant consultation, that lasts forever. This is a great company. We have really enjoyed the plants that we've gotten. I just got a bush. I think it's called a lemonade blueberry bush, something like that.
We've got two different kind of apple trees.
Oh, I can't wait for those to start producing those delicious apples that our children seem to consume at a pace that rivals a cider factory.
Like right Cooper now, will eat the core, not a joke.
Hey, she eats the core. Right now, I need every tree you all have. I need an orchard. I need fast-growing orchards. They have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. Listeners get an additional 15% off when you use the code Sawbones at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Sawbones at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Sawbones. Offer is valid for a limited time. Tell them we sent you.
Mice head bones, like the bones from a mouse's head, were good for toothpicks. And if you could capture a lizard during a full moon, the bones from the front part, I don't know what front part, just the front part of the lizard, anatomically speaking, were good for that. But don't use vulture quills.
Oh, no?
They cause bad breath.
Should have guessed.
Yeah. You could try porcupine instead.
And I will.
They're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great.
We've done a whole episode on hangovers before, but I think I might have missed this one. For hangovers, he recommends a deep fried canary.
I mean, probably. Right? If you're hungover today, tomorrow, think about, like, you know what I could go for sure?
For hemorrhoids, which were a problem then, too, you could make a cream out of pig lard. Sure. And you also need some rust from chariot wheels.
Okay. Where do we draw the line between this and witchcraft? Like, these are spells. They're basically spells at this point.
Or you could just use an onion as a suppository.
Okay. Okay. No, what? It took me a while to line up, like, my basic geometry, and absolutely not.
And now Pliny, he was like an equal opportunity offender. I don't know, however you want to put it. But he was worried about us ladies as well. And for all of our female complaints, whatever those may be, you just take some ram's wool and steep it in oil and then put it there.
I could use that. Sydney's got a lot of female complaints about me. If you know what I'm saying, fellas, waka waka. I did my best. Sorry.
Are you done with those jokes now? Or
those
jokes
are
out of your system?
All okay, used good. Them up.
Now, wool, as I mentioned, he had a lot of uses for that. If you didn't have female complaints, perhaps you just have general pains in your loins. Mm. What you could do with that wool is steep it in a mixture of boiling nitre, sulfur, oil, vinegar, tar, and apply that twice a day as warm as possible to your loins. The pain will be gone. That's just for you.
Oh, great. Sure. I'll whip that one up.
He has an entire chapter, book 29, chapter 20, Remedies Derived from Dragons.
Okay. What in the heck? Man, I wish I could curse. What in the heck? Dragons?
Dragons.
I'll be, funny enough, more plentiful today than in Carta, ironically.
I'm assuming this term was used for other animals that weren't, because like he talks about it like he's done it. Like he's used these things. So there
it's
was something
plenty,
he's
though.
Calling a dragon.
Plenty in a nutshell.
But you could take its eyes, dry them, and then beat them with some honey. You know, like you would like scrambled eggs. Like beat them with some honey. And then you can make a liniment, and that's really good against like ghosts.
So Pliny the Elder has basically become a D&D character at this point, right? He's basically like the old guy who works at the apothecary.
Now, as long as you've captured a dragon and killed it, why not use all parts of the dragon?
Sure. Anything else would be wasteful.
Its fat is good at repelling venomous creatures. Now, to be fair...
I heard somebody on it go, huh. What is wrong with you? Dragons!
I'm gonna write this down.
Salient and germane.
I don't like snakes at all.
I don't like snakes now that lady mentions it.
But he does mention, like, there's like a footnote, and he's like, well, and you, I mean, yes, that is how you could repel snakes, but that might be hard for you to get, the dragon fat. So instead, you could take some vinegar and put it on some, like, stinging nettles and then rub those all over your skin. And snakes won't want to bite you then either.
Probably not. Probably a little choosier than that.
Well, because they're going to think you're, like, scary crazy. They're going to be like, whoa.
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 Whoa, check that
Look
guy.
Look at that guy. Did you see what he just did? I'm not getting close
He's
to that guy.
He's a nut.
For the cure of cataract, if you have cataracts, you could use the ashes of a weasel, assuming you have those. Other cures for the eyes, specifically for glaucoma, you could take some partridge eggs, and then you boil those in a copper vessel and add some honey, and that's perfect for your glaucoma.
Oh, good. Okay.
So that's not too bad. Now, if you have lice, which was, that was a problem then, and it's a problem now. What you want to do for the nits, and what I'm usually telling people are like, you got to get all the nits out. You got to comb, get all the nits out. Nope. You can destroy them by using dog's fat or eat a snake that was cooked like an eel.
Sorry, what?
I don't know how you cook an eel. So I guess that's step one.
It's like eel.
Step one.
Eel fried snake, basically.
Step one, how do you cook an eel? They don't have that on Encarta.
No, not on Encarta.
Now, you may be wondering, how did old Pliny die? He published this book, and it was very, and like I said, it was kind of the beginning of like what we think of as encyclopedias at this point. So it was like a big deal. And he really did. I'm making fun of kind of his cures, but he cataloged basically everything in the natural world and told all kinds of human histories as well. The way that Pliny died might be kind of heroic. Maybe. We're not sure. So he sailed a ship to Pompeii. Which, okay, some people are going, Pompeii, I know that. During the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, because one of his friends was stuck there.
Whoa.
And he was trying to save his friend Rectina and her family from the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Wow. It's very nice. I'm sure he appreciates that. You may want to let her finish the story. I read ahead a bit.
There are multiple accounts of this, as you may imagine. And the most common story goes that when he got there, the winds were so strong back towards, you know, Pompeii that he wasn't able to sail away from Pompeii, and so they died there and weren't able to sail away. People advised him, like, turn back, don't go. And he was like, fortune favors the brave. And then he took off. So, like, that's, like, his heroic ending. That's, like, the good. It's like another Wayne's World thing. This is the heroic ending. Unfortunately, there were other versions of this story. So one version hinges on the fact, and you may be surprised to hear, Pliny was not, like, a healthy guy. He apparently was in pretty bad shape. Like, he had a bad heart. His lungs didn't work so well. Something, I don't know. But anyway, he may have gotten there and had a heart attack. Or he may have had a heart attack in the boat on the way there. Or there's one story that says he never even left. Like, he talked about it. And he said, like, I'm going to go save... Just 10 minutes. I got to have lunch first. Then I'm going to go save my buddy and her family and, oh, my heart. So there's also that version.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
I'm going to choose to believe the first one. Perception is reality. He went there. He saved her. Died a hero.
Yeah. I'm going to give Pliny the benefit of the doubt and say that he did. He died a hero trying to save his friend in Pompeii.
Hooray for Pliny.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Now, Pliny deserves, I think, more than just a story. What's more poignant than a story, but a story told in song? Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, where's your guitar?
You know, I know you told me to bring it. It's so heavy. It's so heavy.
I wrote this whole song about Pliny.
Hold on, I got. Wait, hold on. I got you. I got my Anna and Elsa cup here.
You have a cup?
My Anna and Elsa cup.
What are you gonna do with that cup?
Stole it from Charlie.
What is your plan with this cup? Oh no. Riley taught him how to do this. That's
true.
This
is gonna go great.
That's 100% true.
Whenever you're ready, Sid.
I bought a tincture from this guy in town. two-bottle urine and some hay. And I sure hope it can cure pleurisy, 'cause Pliny says refunds aren't his way. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. I'm drinking pee and it's all wrong. I'm gonna eat a fox's brain and feel exactly the same, 'cause Pliny the elder's always wrong. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Bad blood on snake bites, no, that's wrong. He told me I should lick a snail and that my period stops hail, 'cause Pliny the elder's always wrong. So yeah, my pleurisy still got me down, but Pliny says he's got great news. He's got maggots, he's got livers, he's got rabbit poop for shivers, and a buy one, get one sale I just can't lose. But it's wrong. It's all wrong. A BOGO sale on stuff that's wrong. Sure, he's offering great deals if you don't care if you're healed, 'cause Pliny the elder's always wrong. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's true that Pliny's always wrong, but he helped to pave the way and died a hero in Pompeii. There are way worse things to be than wrong.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Thank you so much, New York. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.